Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jan Huch from PPS. On behalf of PPS Telecom Group, I would like to welcome you to this conference call that we organized to present and discuss the company's recent results. We will take you through the presentation that we are streaming on the link that you received as part of your connection instructions. The slides are also available for download on the website of PPS Telecom Group, www.ppstelecom.eu, in the Investors section under the header Financial Reports. To begin with, let me introduce today's speakers that will update you on our operating and financial performance and who will be available to answer your questions in the Q&A session after the presentation. It's Jan Tomaňík, the Investment Manager of PPF Group, responsible for TMT sector, and Lukáš Kubesa, the Financial Manager of PPF Telecom Group. And on this, I'm handing over to Jan Tomaňík to commence the presentation.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your ongoing interest in PPF Telecom Group and for being with us today. As you are probably well aware, from broader perspective of the whole PPF Group, parent entity to PPF Telecom, first half of the year was affected by a tragic disease of Mr. Peter Kellner, PPF's founder and 99% shareholder. Ownership in PPF Group is thus pending transition in the inheritance proceedings to Mr. Kellner's heirs. Mr. Ladislav Bartoníček, also a shareholder to PPF Group, was named CEO of the whole group alongside his prior position of Telecom Group CEO. Marek Sláčik was tasked to comprehensively oversee our operating businesses in Hungary, Bulgaria, Serbia and Montenegro, so those businesses originally acquired from Telenor Group. That comes alongside his ongoing responsibility for commercial domain across the whole Telecom Group. For PPF Telecom Group itself, from operating business and financial perspective, first half of the year was a successful period. Please continue with me to slide 4, which reiterates what operating businesses Telecom Group consists of. The new corporate structure subdivides the Telecom Group to three verticals or subgroups, if you wish. First, CETIM Group consolidates telecom infrastructure, meaning our network operations in four countries. Second is O2 Group with its retail telco service business in Czechia and its fully owned subsidiary in Slovakia. Third, on the right-hand side, are our Telenor-branded mobile retail businesses. Now to an update on more recent development in PPF Telecom Group since the beginning of this year, with the help of slide number 5. During the first quarter of the year, the key events were the spectrum auctions in Hungary and in Bulgaria. At the end of June, beginning of July, we announced a plan to consolidate 100% ownership in O2 Czech Republic and in Czech CETIM, and we did first steps in that direction. In July, signing of a non-binding term sheet on sale of Telenor Montenegro was announced. And last but not least, as you follow, since the beginning of the year, a strategic review is pending in the CETIM Group. As a first delivery from it, CETIM Group financing structure was set and executed at the beginning of September. One by one, we have more details on these developments on our later slides. But first, please follow me on slide 6, where we are listing key highlights of our semi-annual results. Firstly, as we show in the left-hand top corner, a business operating environment has not changed materially. A number of our mobile subscribers as at the end of June reached 18.4 million, including machine-to-machine SIM cards, and it thus remained virtually unchanged since the beginning of the year. Its structure, however, keeps on improving with 2.2% year-over-year growth in our postpaid subscribers base. We have all necessary or at least some 5G spectrum at our disposal in 4 out of our 6 markets, having added Bulgaria among 5G countries since our last update in February as well. And 5G network rollout has been launched. Second, we are pleased with the financial performance in the first half of the year, especially considering that COVID lockdowns still limited us in our operations in January through April. EBITDA grew by 8.4% in the first 6 months over the same period last year. But this fast pace of EBITDA growth, there is admittedly some component of catch-up for slower growth of 2% for the last calendar year 2020 as a whole. On country consolidated basis, as we still do not have comparable base periods for separate settings in Telenor territories, all countries positively contributed to that growth of the group, delivering 5% year-over-year growth or higher. FX impact in consolidation was mixed, supportive in Czechia as Czech crown recovered from last year's COVID cost depreciation, but there was ongoing negative FX impact from foreign depreciation on our Hungarian operations. Third, we did not issue any new bonds on the parent level this year, but we set funding structure for the setting group as a subset of PPF Telecom Group. Thanks to the consent granted by our note holders in July, that we indeed very much appreciated, we could have executed setting group financing package at the beginning of September. Proceeds from setting group funding were indirectly used to prepay smaller residual outstanding portion of PPF Telecom Group 2018 term loans. It resulted into security package being dropped, also for Telecom Group notes outstanding. Otherwise, setting group new financing is cross-debt neutral and had no impact on the group's financial policy, as we'll also elaborate on later. And fourth, we continue our efforts to clean and simplify corporate structure of PPF Telecom Group. In February, we presented how retail services versus telco infrastructure was aligned across the group with setting group establishment at the beginning of 2020. Now, we focus on defragmentation of Czech setting and O2's ownership. The aim here is to consolidate 100% in both underneath Telecom Group umbrella. This split ownership was a consequence of historic acquisition steps and legacy financing arrangements. We now removed this legacy complexity. It was admittedly a target of legitimate critique of some of our node holders, which we listened to. Let me continue on my next slide, number 7, with more details on this. Telecom Group's stake in CETIN Czechia was increased to 100% at the beginning of September. No consideration was paid for this incremental approximately 10% stake in Czech CETIN. With some simplification of legal aspects, we can say that PPF Group effectively contributed this stake in kind into PPF Telecom Group. For O2, which is listed entity with public minority, the process is indeed more complicated and only its first phase has been accomplished in June-July. Then we bought out shares corresponding to approximately 6.9% from market free float in reverse accelerated book building. So determined arm's length price of 264 Czech crowns per share was also used for the acquisition of 15.8% stake in O2 from other entities of PPF Group outside of PPF Telecom Group. This amount paid for the shares totaled approximately 700 million euros. Telecom Group's shareholding in O2 then increased to current 90.5%, which exceeds 90% threshold required by the law to initiate so-called squeeze-out procedure. That squeeze-out is the second phase of the process, which remains ahead of us. 300 million euro was financed by new debt. The rest was settled with own cash of the group, which goes hand in hand with significant reduction of this year's expected dividend distribution. Please follow me on slide 8 with additional details on new Cetin Group financing and changes associated with it. We obtained new term loans and revolving credit facility from a group of relationship banks for Cetin Group, up to the total amount of 1.65 billion euro. Exact composition is in the table on the right. We have already drawn 825 million euro at the beginning of September, which were effectively fully utilized to indirectly prepay the remainder of the 2018 term loans at the parent, including that already mentioned 300 million incremental tranche for O2 shares repurchase. Remaining Cetin Group term loan will be drawn before the end of the year and will be used to repay euro-denominated tranche of Czech Cetin bonds with 625 million principal, which is due this December. Most of Czech Cetin's debt will thus be shifted upstream to the Cetin Group. On slide 9, I have an update on two pending equity transactions. These are potential but far not certain deals. First, on the left-hand side, Montenegro. We have been negotiating and entered into non-binding term sheet with Hungarian listed company called 4IG on potential sale of our ownership interest in Telenor Montenegro. Our willingness to consider such divestiture is driven by small size of our operations in Montenegro in comparison with any other business unit in the group. Last year, Telenor Montenegro contributed approximately 1.4 and 1.1% of group revenues and EBITDA respectively. But under no circumstances we are forced to sell. Binding documentation would be entered into only if acceptable terms can be reached with the counterparty. On the right-hand side, strategic review in Cetin Group continues. Already discussed new financing of Cetin Group is the first outcome from this process. It was said and it is not conditional on any potential further outcomes of that pending review. Broadening of Cetin Group shareholder base by invitation of minority infrastructure investor or public equity investors remain an open option as well. But keeping full ownership in Cetin Group equally remains an alternative. We are forced neither by our balance sheet nor by any other circumstances into such minority divestiture. So any decision would be done only based on how favorable the overall conditions available to us in the end are. The resulting current corporate structure of PPF Telecom Group is schematically plotted on the slide number 10. It captures all of the mentioned changes in the ownership stakes and in the debt, including on pro forma basis, those that actually happened after 30th of June balance sheet date till the beginning of September. Consolidated net leverage as of June 30th stood at 2.55 net debt EBITDA. Nevertheless, for full transparency and openness with you, purchases of approximately half of O2 shares bought to date, corresponding to approximately 11% stake in O2 and worth 349 million euros, were not settled until July. And also, small 90 million euro dividend was distributed to the parent in July. Pro forma for these subsequent events, which happened in July, net leverage would have stood at approximately 2.87. My next slide, number 11, with the pie charts, reiterate how diversified our group is in its EBITDA generation and what is the country breakdown of our mobile subscriber base. One thing is, however, new here and worth to put some emphasis on. Here you can see for the first time run rate contribution of Cetin Group and those three newly established Cetins founded a year ago, which demerged from Telenor entities in Hungary, Bulgaria, and Serbia. So these new settings together contributed approximately 16% of group's EBITDA. And setting group as a whole, together with Czech setting, contributed 39% of group's EBITDA in total. Quick update on frequency spectrum on slide 12. New spectrum auctions in Czechia, Slovakia, and Hungary kept us busy and were top strategic priority through the last year. Successful spectrum renewal in Hungary, also worth significant nominal amount, has also been already communicated and discussed with you in February. New spectrum this time is 3.7 GHz band acquired in Bulgaria, which is 5G capable spectrum. 700 and 800 MHz bands both remain unallocated in Bulgaria. Therefore, any additional bandwidth that we could have got in the country during first half of the year is really helping from technology and capacity point of view. While it remains fully in the hands of local telecom regulators, we would now expect that allocations or auctions of 5G spectrum in both Serbia and Montenegro will not happen until next year. In Montenegro, smaller auction of yet unallocated originally 4G frequencies from 2.6 GHz band is still plausible this year. Jumping over current total spectrum distribution across our perimeter on slide 13, please follow me on slide 14 with quick COVID updates for our countries. Key observations from the chart with per capita cumulative cases on the left-hand side of the slide could be these three. From COVID perspective, we enjoyed calm summer months from June to August. But an uptick becomes already visible in Montenegro, Serbia, and Bulgaria in newly discovered COVID cases since late August. That's presumably driven by a combination of inbound tourism and seasonality. Comparably, higher share of Czech and Montenegrin population have already faced the infection, which could hopefully contribute somewhat to the immunity of the population going forward. Other countries are actually in the ballpark of the EU average in terms of COVID infections so far. However, as the focus clearly shifts to the vaccinations on the right-hand side, there we see much broader distribution of achievements to date across countries of our presence. Bulgaria is standing out as slightly worrying from further lockdowns perspective, with the lowest vaccination rates so far and fairly low infections to date as well, at least on the basis of these official statistics. Starting on slide 15, let me just very quickly flip through the next five or so slides, which bring our usual update on business KPIs. I'll be highlighting only the interesting facts, as I hope that the slides are otherwise quite self-explanatory. From new competition threats, in Czech Republic, those three small players which acquired C-band spectrum in the auction can still apply for national roaming and start providing country-wide services without our network. Likewise, Czech regulator's rhetoric on its aim to further decrease mobile data pricing, possibly through wholesale pricing and increased competitiveness of virtual operators, continues. On slide 16, our commercial initiatives, including broadening of our proposition of ancillary services like handset insurance and cybersecurity for end users, are followed on. Supported by sales on installments, we keep focusing on handsets and accessories sales across the group. In Czech Republic, O2 successfully sells high-end and actually high-margin yielding fixed CPEs with own design and branding. global chipset shortage resulting to price inflation and long delivery times is the risk that we are coping with on this front. Just one quick note to the slide 17 with mobile revenue market shares. We show it for consistency on the basis of analysis Mason data, but we tend to disagree with how mobile revenue market shares are presented for Montenegro. Based on our own estimates for like-for-like competitors' mobile revenues, we do not actually see as negative momentum in Telenor Montenegro's market share as actually plotted here. I will leave slide number 18 and 19 with mobile subscriber bases and ARPUs without comment. And you can follow me on slide 20 with my last notes. That slide carries an update on fixed services in Czechia. Continued growth in active fixed broadband lines of Czech Satin brought its wholesale base again over 1 million actively used lines. That is, we believe, directly attributable to Czech Satin's fiber to the cabinet rollout program, which had been executed during 5 years from 2016 till 2020. Satin now more or less exhausted potential of this copper network upgrade, as you can see from the column chart in the left-hand bottom corner. But lead time since network acceleration to the ramp-up in active connections is indeed long, and we believe that we'll be able to benefit from the results of that investment program for next couple of years. Looking for a longer-term future, Cetin now refocuses its investment activity on selective regional upgrades of its network to proper fiber to the home. Let me now hand over to Lukáš Kubesa, Group's financial manager, and he'll walk you through our financial results in greater detail.
Thank you, Jan. Good morning. Let me comment on our financial performance in the first half of 2021. Our reported consolidated revenue grew more than 4% year over year. Domestic revenues, which exclude low margin international transit, grew almost by 7% year over year. We experience continuous demand for telecommunication services, which reflect into the 6% growth in our core subscription and traffic revenues. Growing number of valuable contract customers and growing ARPU in all our markets are the key drivers of this growth. The trend of migration of prepaid customers to more valuable postpaid tariffs continued in first half of 2021. Development of roaming margin in first half 2021 was still negative compared to the 2020, but we see strong recovery in summer months. Compared to first half 2020, we see strong recovery in hardware revenue in all our markets. Hardware revenues increased by 8% year over year, as first half of 2020 was significantly influenced by the restrictions and low footfall in our shops. Our manageable OPEX increased by 3% on year-over-year basis, while we still continue to keep strong focus on the operational efficiency of our businesses. Significant growth in revenues and cost under control resulted in consolidated EBITDA after leases increased by almost 9%. Total CAPEX increased by 24% compared to the first half of 2020. Of last year when we invested into the 5G spectrum in Hungary. Excluding spectrum investments, reported CAPEX increased by 8%. The increase is attributable mainly to the 5G network investment in Hungary, Bulgaria, Czech Republic and Slovakia, and continuous investment in Czech fixed network, especially fiber optic rollout program. CAPEX to revenues ratio remained at the same level of 10% to the revenues. Our cash flows remain healthy, strong, and unaffected by the pandemic. Free cash flow, excluding the spectrum payments, decreased on year-over-year basis by 6%, but this is mainly attributable to the positive timing one-offs in working capital and tax paid in the first half of 2020. Excluding these one-offs, the underlying free cash flow development follows the development of EBITDA. On the next slide, you can see that group's total financial debt has not changed materially during the first half of this year. Consolidated net leverage has remained below 2.6 multiple of EBITDA, excluding IFRS 16 impact. Post the balance sheet date, as of 1st of June, there were changes in the maturity profile of the debt, of which the most important one is the extension of due date of term loans due in 2024 to the year 2026, and the slight increase in over-indebtedness related to the purchase of O2 shares. The chart in the upper left corner of the slide 22 depicts the group's debt as of today. If we include effect of the incremental debt and the dividend payment in July of 90 million euro, the pro forma net leverage is 2.9 multiple of EBITDA. As you can see, we maintained a sufficient headroom between current leverage and our 3.2 times EBITDA leverage threshold. The group retains a substantial amount of cash on its balance sheet, more than 700 million euro. Part of this cash has been used for purchase of O2 shares in July and payment of the dividends. Cash position remains high in anticipation of further purchase of O2 shares. You can find more detailed breakdown of the financial KPIs in the appendix to the presentation. Thank you, and let me hand over to Jan.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of the company's presentation, and we are now ready to take your questions. Operator, we are ready to take the first question.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. Or if you've joined us online, you can press the flag icon. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your line is unmuted. Our first question comes from Laura Hornsey from MFS. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you so much for your presentation and taking the questions. Just a few from my end. Just in terms of the second review of the structure, I just wanted to understand a bit better the rationale, because originally you obviously aimed to have 100% ownership, but now you're contemplating a sort of partial listing or taking on a minority shareholder. I just wanted to better understand why the sort of change, especially since you just went the other direction, so to say, with O2, which was or still is listed, and where you're currently looking to achieve that 100% ownership and essentially taking it private. So that's the first question. Then the second question is just with regards to the dividend. You mentioned that the dividend payout will be lower just because obviously the payments that you made in terms of taking O2 private and the share purchases. So how does the dividend this year compare to prior year dividends? And then lastly, in Czechia, the renewal costs, because on that slide you sort of pointed out the different spectrum costs that you incurred so far in the different countries, but the renewal costs for the 2.1 gigahertz spectrum in Czechia was not mentioned. If you could just confirm the cost, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your question. Starting from the setting group pending strategic review and potential, but not sure, sale of minority in it. I try to distinguish as much as possible during the presentation, but thank you for asking to make it clearer to everyone. It's necessary to distinguish between Czech Satin and Satin Group. Czech Satin as an entity that we established in 2015 and that had been an issuer of Eurobonds since 2016 is now a big part, but only a part of a broader Cetin group, which since the beginning of 2020 includes also Cetins established in Hungary, Bulgaria and Serbia, which we separated from our Telenor mobile business units. So potential sale of minority that we have been discussing with you and where our efforts continue would consider setting group encompassing all those four business units. From Czech setting perspective, PPF Group has owned 100% stake in it since squeeze out of minorities that we accomplished in January 2016, if I'm not mistaken. And those 10% were just kept by other entities outside of PPF Telecom Group, and we brought it to the perimeter without consideration, so strengthening PPF Telecom Group profile by that. Second part of that question that relates to potential squeeze out of minorities and the listing of O2 as compared to the effort to list or sell minority in certain group. As you know, through the acquisition of O2 from Spanish Telefonica and subsequent mandatory tender offer and some follow-on transaction, this free float, a nominal one in O2, was reduced to approximately 16%. From those 16%, to our knowledge, approximately 4% were held by one entity, Czech investor unassociated with PPF Group, which held the shares but didn't trade in those. So an effective free float might have been around 12%, which in long run didn't seem to us as good reason to preserve the listing. And as we were able through the June-July transaction to exceed 90% mandatory squeeze-out threshold, we believe it is the best direction to follow and to simplify Telecoms Group organization structure by eliminating that minority here. As for the second question on the spectrum cost, and specifically for 2.1 gigahertz band that is to be renewed in Czech Republic. As per Czech telecommunications law, it does not need to be retendered in an auction, but current holders of spectrum have right to extend the license in exchange for paying a fee that will be determined by the advisor's opinion. To our understanding, that process is ongoing, and before it is concluded with Czech Telecommunications Office, as you can understand, we may not share additional details. But what is important that with this existing holding in 2.1 GHz spectrum, we would not, to our understanding, need to undergo competitive auction or retendering. The last question or with respect to the dividend. Last year's dividend was 600 million euros, approximately corresponding to free cash flow generating capacity of PPF Telecom Group. As there are no material year-over-year changes that could be a dividend capacity for this year, which we are, however, significantly reducing, and cash, instead of being paid out to parent of PPF Telecom Group, was used together with that 300 million incremental debt for purchase of 20% stake of InO2 that we have acquired today. the dividends paid in July accounted for only 90 million euros. We do not expect any significant amounts to be paid in the second half at this stage. However, we cannot commit to an exact amount that could be paid on the top of 90 million euros, but it should for sure be significantly lower than last year's dividend distribution. I hope it covers all of the aspects that you asked for.
Yes, that was very clear. Thank you so much for answering my question.
Thank you for your interest.
Our next question comes from Jonathan Schroer from UniCredit. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello. I was wondering if you could provide just sort of a forecast for CapEx and what you're expecting the full level for the year to come at. Do you think it would be roughly double where you are currently, or do you expect an acceleration in the second half of the year? And then I wanted to clarify in terms of the refinancing at Beckon, do you consider the term loan to settle that refinancing issue for now, or are you waiting until you basically sort out the ownership questions before proceeding with perhaps a longer-dated solution there? And I was also wondering if you could provide an update on the situation with the spectrum allocation in the Czech Republic. Can you mention that there are some potential new entrants and roaming? You might be required to provide a roaming agreement. If you could provide an update on the situation, that would be very helpful. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for your questions. I will start with the CapEx question and then I will hand over to Jan. I think that first half of the year CapEx is not fully representative to extrapolate for the rest of the year, because usually the second half of the year the CapEx for the rollout of the network is usually higher. So if I compare to full year 2020 CAPEX excluding the spectrum, I think that in following, let's say, 2-3 years, we will see increase in CAPEX to revenue ratio by single percentage points, because of the modernization of the mobile networks in all our countries, which has started this year and will follow up probably till 2024-2025.
To the second question of yours on new financing of Tipping Group, and we hope to have brought sufficient detail on slide 8, and I can guide you to that in more details. So that's the right table where you see that the term loans for Tipping Group are totaling 1,450,000,000, and have two maturity tranches. First one is 2023, amounting for 750,000,000, and second in total 700,000,000, of which only 75 million have been drawn so far, has a maturity of 2026. The already fully drawn tranche, maturing 23, is a corporate bridge loan, so within time frame of its maturity, subject to market conditions, we would consider and be willing to refinance that loan on the bond market through potential Tipping Group's issuance. That issuance, inaugural one for Tipping Group, would actually substitute original Czech Tipping as an issuer of hopefully investment-grade rated bonds within PPF Telecom Group. This financing of Tetin Group is not conditioned and isn't expected to be anyhow amended, or at least anyhow significantly amended, subject to the potential outcomes of the strategic review, including the minority sale. So I would look at this as a first delivery within the strategic review, which is now done and announced, with the second part of it still open for consideration. And we would indeed update you on the development on that front, either with our full year results or when anything materializes. And the third, on the competitive landscape in Czech Republic. There, as we have commented, auction rules that all of the participants to the auction had to sign up for entitled holders of 3.5 and 3.7 gigahertz bands for national roaming at somewhat regulated prices. That obligation to provide national roaming was tied to one specific block in the 700 megahertz band, which was actually acquired by O2 Czech Republic. As potential discussions would be private and confidential in between O2 and potentially interested parties for that national roaming, we cannot comment on that in detail. All what I wanted to share with you is reiteration that this competitive threat prevails, and we see how that unfolds in upcoming months or years.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
As another reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad or press the flag icon if you've joined us online. Our next question comes from Nicholas MacDonald from Bank of America. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. Apologies, I got on slightly late, so apologies if this has already been addressed. I just wanted to go back to the strategic review with regards to setting group. In terms of the second two scenarios, I guess, where you have a listing or a direct sale, in terms of potential use of proceeds, I guess you're well within your target leverage. So is it fair to assume that the proceeds would either be used for a dividend or reinvested in the business in some other way? I wondered if you could just comment on, plans there or indeed what might influence your decisions in terms of use of potential proceeds. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As we are commenting on the strategic review only as a pending alternative for you to be aware of it, but without a specific outcome, or without anyhow increased probability of any of the three scenarios that we listed on our slide 9, a discussion on how proceeds from that divestiture would be used is to some extent premature. However, let me share with you how we are and how we would be thinking and what process we would go through before determining how proceeds would be utilized. First, we are mindful of and we intend respecting financial policy of PPF Telecom Group as a whole that prevails. And we have been and will be holding discussions on that decision with our rating agencies, which will help us with their guidance, how proceeds could be utilized while preserving also the interest of U.S. PPF Telecom Group's creditors. So the option generally is twofold. Portion of the proceeds could be upstreamed to PPF Telecom Group and exit the perimeter. Other portion could be used for reinvestment, as you said, including the sub-option of prepayment of portions of some of the PPF Telecom Groups, or in better terms, PPF Telecom Group's subsidiaries' existing indebtedness, so that financial benefits of that divestment are fairly shared between PPF Group as an equity holder and node holders as creditors of PPF Telecom Group.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Rick Matila from Credit Suisse. Your line is now open.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much for the presentation. My question was actually on the use of proceeds that you just addressed, but maybe just a little follow-up. If I heard you correctly in an earlier question, you mentioned PPF Telecom bonds hopefully as investment grade. So should we regard it as something of a target for you to achieve full investment grade status for PPF Telecom bonds? Obviously, at the moment, you have the rating from Fitch, and still one notch below by Moody's and S&P. So should we regard that as something of an objective maybe in the medium term for PPF Telecom? Thanks.
Let me start with reconciliation. I referred back there to CET Group, not to PPF Telecom Group as a whole. So PPF Telecom Group as a whole, we are happy with current rating mark, we have it. This group as such, I only extrapolated from Czech setting AS, which currently is rated investment grade from Fitch and from Moody's, and I made that extrapolation to setting group as a whole. However, there is no announcement, neither promise, a mere hope that certain group as such, as a sub of PPF Telecom Group, would itself, and we would strive for it to be investment grade rated.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad or press the flag icon if you've joined us online. And the next question comes from Nadia Al-Alawi from UBS. Your line is now open.
Thanks for your presentation. I just have similar questions with regards to potential change in your ratings. Could you please give us an update when you last talked to Moody's and S&P about your rating?
Well, we regularly update our rating agencies annually on our results. So the last full annual review was conducted in February this year, when we have discussed with the rating agencies the happenings which we have done or undergone so far and which we are announcing. And so we generally keep our rating agencies up to date on current happenings as well as on our near-term plans, and we duly consult with them how to approach arising situations.
Understood. And if something were to happen on the CTN side of things, I would assume that there will be an ad hoc meeting with the rating agencies? Is that correct?
That's correct. As Czech Satin AS was rated by Moody's and Fitch when we transferred that infrastructure leverage capacity to Satin Group, as we have described today, we expect that going forward we would approach rating agencies and seek rating for Satin Group from them as well.
Okay, thank you.
We have no further questions, so I'll hand it back for closing remarks.
This is Jan Hook again. Thank you all for attending today's call. If you still have any follow-up questions, you are welcome to contact our investor relations and we will be happy to oblige. And now, on behalf of the company, I'm terminating today's call. Thank you. Goodbye.